Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Good morning, 6:08. Glad you're with us here on the Faith Radio Network, and thank you for listening. What is an appropriate American response, maybe even an appropriate American Christian response, to tensions in the nation of Israel? We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. We have reports. And matter of fact, I'm going to get into this with our next guest here. We had officials in the government of Israel saying that with all the anti-Semitic sentiment, anti-Jewish sentiment around the world, especially in Europe and in the United States of America, and the ambivalence towards the assault on Israel, we have the makings of another Jewish Holocaust. And I suspect that's the case. That said, we have this ongoing military tension between the government and the country of Israel and this, for all intents and purposes, a terrorist group called Hamas. What are we to make of that? Joining us for the latest, our great friend, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, retired from the United States Army. Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer serves with the Center for Advanced Defense Studies, a think tank in Washington, D.C. He joins us on the Newsline. Colonel Schaefer, welcome back to our program, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on again, Austin. Good to be on.
Always good to speak with you. As you see it, how do you evaluate the latest details of, I guess, Israel versus Hamas right now?
Well, the thing for your audience to understand is that really this was prompted by Hamas. Hamas has been, as we've now found, building tunnels under the border, essentially setting up mechanisms for them to do sneak attacks against the Israelis. I understand that there was a larger attack planned for later this year where they would have actually gone about kidnapping Israeli civilians and military for purposes of terror. So what you've seen now is the Israelis pushing back, going into the Gaza Strip very hard militarily to both defend itself from these missiles. They've been firing missiles into the interior of the Israeli state, as well as prevent these tunnels from being used. So to me, Austin, it's very clear that the Israelis had every right to essentially take and do, I'll be very blunt, offensive operations, but for the purpose of defending their own nation. So I think it's very legitimate, and I'm not quite sure why they're, and I've seen, as you have, the debate on this here. To me, there's no debate. This is no different than had West Virginia decided it was going to attack Virginia, the great state of Virginia, and our governor here, using the Virginia National Guard to push back into West Virginia to stop the West Virginians from attacking us. I don't see any difference in the two analogies.
That is a very powerful analogy, and yet, Tony, you know better than the rest of us, I believe, that's actually a recurring theme in the broad discussion about this here in the United States. And we see the Prime Minister of Israel and other officials in that government state over and over again, as though they're speaking to a disbelieving audience, they say, hey, we have a right to exist. How seriously compromised is the right to exist of Israel, would you say? Can you evaluate that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Israelis have been working with the Palestinians. You brought up the Palestinians. The Palestinian people are different than Hamas. The Palestinian people are different than Fatah, which essentially is underpinnings of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. What you see here, Austin, is a terrorist organization, Hamas, who is organized around the objective of destroying the Israeli state. So, again, going back to my analogy of West Virginia versus Virginia, if West Virginia's primary purpose in life was to destroy Virginia, I think we'd have a problem here. We'd be fighting to survive. And that's what the Israelis are faced with here. And so what we've seen is an attempt by Fatah, by the Palestinian Authority, to kind of mitigate Hamas's really hard edge. They attempted to merge the two governments together, Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. And there's actually they actually did that. Unfortunately, now that the two governments exist, Hamas is not even paying attention to its own government. It signed up to be part of the Palestinian Authority, and now it's not even listening to that. So basically what you have is a group, Hamas, who has gone rogue even from its own Palestinian governance. So what you see is the Israelis having no choice left but to go in and defend themselves and to do it in a very vigorous, very direct manner.
Is Israel seriously at risk for losing something, losing some modicum of sovereignty, losing some of its own territory that is a part of the nation of Israel? How serious is the threat on that country?
Well, you know, the threat of I don't see any territorial issues at this point. I mean, obviously, there's been issues regarding the pieces that they obtained through both the 67 and 72 wars. But at this point, I think it's more about just protecting its people. I mean, again, part of what was going on here is you had the Muslim Brotherhood, and let me bring them into the picture. Muslim Brotherhood is an Egyptian organization, which essentially is all about a global caliphate that would see the Muslims run everything. And essentially, the Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood, was supporting Hamas building itself up during the time that President Morsi, the now dethroned president of Egypt, was supporting it. That we saw literally tons and tons of concrete, weapons, all sorts of missiles moved into the Gaza Strip while the Egyptians were ruled by the Muslim Brotherhood. And now what we're seeing essentially is the end effects of that, of all the support that the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood had given them, which also, by the way, the side issue really does justify why we should declare the Brotherhood a terrorist organization like the Egyptians have. They have been supported by others in the region, and that's what the Israelis are trying to prevent now, is any more support coming from outside.
All right, Colonel Tony Schaefer, he's with the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. He's on our guest line. Tony, can you hold on for just another moment? I've got another quick question for you.
Sure.
All right, we'll continue in just a moment with Colonel Schaefer. You're listening to Austin Hill in the Morning at 6:15. This is the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. This is the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Still to come, some big news on an American Christian pastor being held illegally in the country of Iran, Pastor Saeed Abedini. I will tell you about that. Also, some great parenting wisdom later this morning from John and Kendra Smiley on dealing with kids who have yelling issues. Raise your hand if you can relate to that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, he's with the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network, weighing in on matters surrounding the country of Israel. Tony, if we could take a step back here for just a moment. We've talked about the military attack on Israel and the sniping back and forth between Hamas and Israel and such. And I want to get your perspective, since you traveled the world, not only as a public servant in our U.S. Army, an officer in our Army, serving our nation, but as a consultant, you're working on various projects, many of which really don't even get discussed publicly as far as trying to help nations that are really struggling with collapsed governments. You've seen all of these things from a very distinct perspective. And we had earlier this week officials in the government of Israel saying that the anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish sentiment around the world, in Europe and in the United States, is so great right now that we've got the makings of another Jewish Holocaust. Now, I can imagine a lot of people here in the U.S. rolling their eyes and saying, well, that's just hyperbole, and that's just his perspective, and whatever, and we move on. How serious are we to take that when the Israeli government is saying that the ambivalence towards Jews, maybe even the hostility towards Jews, is so great, there could be another Holocaust? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think you're correct. There's been, I'd say, beyond ambivalence, I'd say essentially disdain for the Jewish state and their actions, and I think it's dangerous on two accounts. First, again, any nation under attack by a terrorist threat has the right to defend itself, and that should be the first, issue, period. You know, if you're attacked, you have that right. But then there's a second layer of this religious, I'd say, furor for no reason. I mean, again, going back thousands of years, you've seen this time and time again. And what's most dangerous about it now is that, once again, ignorance is raising its head. That there's been issues in the Ukraine, there's been issues in France, and some other nations where, there's been protests against the Jews. And again, there's just no basis for it. It's completely emotional. It's completely based in hate. And I would encourage your audience, I mean, obviously in their own hearts, to understand it. Look, while the Christians have a certain view of forgiveness, others do not. And we mm-hmm. should always take the high ground on this. But yes, there's an issue, and it's dangerous because this ignorance could lead to violence, and violence leads to other things. And that's where I think we're at right now.
Very interesting. How does the conscientious Christian here in the United States stateside, those of us who are not traveling the globe and observing these things firsthand, how do we, I guess in an informed way, Tony, pray about these matters? How do we live proactively so as to try to make a difference in your view?
Well, pray for peace. I mean, this is a case where I think everybody agrees that demilitarization of the Gaza Strip is the most important thing to seek right now. And that's something even President Obama has basically stated. With that said, we have our own issues here, and I think we should pray for guidance on how we're supposed to deal with the southwest border, which, by the way, we should probably talk about another time, which is very much a danger zone for us here in the United States, and bad things have come through there. So I think we need to focus on our own issues as well.
Well stated, as always. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, he's with the Center for Advanced Defense Studies, a nonprofit think tank and consulting group in Washington, D.C., a veteran of our U.S. Army. Tony, we appreciate what you do. You're a guiding light and a voice of clarity and wisdom in very, very difficult times. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. I appreciate that man very much and his clarity and not politicizing these things, but spelling them out and saying, here's where things are at. And here's the goodness and the badness mixed in. These are very, very difficult times. I don't know about you, but I struggle with weighing in on these things. And I prayerfully ask, God, what is it to be a conscientious, thoughtful servant to you in these very perplexing sort of times here in our nation? We are blessed to live in the United States of America. Our nation still has the most robust and most powerful military force in the world. And you and I, we have a voice in how that gets utilized, how that is harnessed, and what happens in this country. What's the right direction? What's the wrong direction? Very perplexing times. Pray for peace, as Colonel Schaefer admonished us, and I would encourage that we all pray that God gives each and every one of us discernment as far as what it means to be a responsible, thoughtful Christian and citizen of his kingdom, yes, but citizen of the United States of America at such a time as this. Speaking of the course of things and world events and such, we have some, I hope it's good news. I hope it's good news. I will just state it that way. Some positive developments on the front involving a gentleman named Saeed Abedini. And I'll tell you, I know people that actually are members of the church where Pastor Saeed Abedini served for a number of years. If that name to you, if you're just kind of, you've heard the name Saeed Abedini, S-A-E-E-D, by the way, is how you spell his first name. If you've heard that name before, but that just kind of sounds to you like, yeah, that guy's probably not from the United States of America. And I understand that sentiment. And by the way, Saeed would be the first person to address that and to be okay with you assuming that. He is a native of the country of Iran, actually, but he is a naturalized citizen. Came into the country when he was a very young child. After the fall of the Shah of Iran and the takeover by the Ayatollah Khomeini back in the late 1970s. I was in junior high school at the time. Saeed was, gosh, I think he was a fairly newborn guy when that was going on. His parents fled the country of Iran at that time, as did a lot of young Iranians in that era and in that generation. His parents managed to come into the United States. Saeed and his eventual wife, Nagme Abedini, they both fled the country of Iran to a freer, safer country called the United States of America. He became a Christian and went on to be called to the ministry with the Calvary Chapel Church. He is a pastor, still officially, with Calvary Chapel of Boise, Idaho. But he's being held captive in a very brutal prison in the country of Iran. I'll tell you what appears to be some positive movement on that front and some very hopeful signs. We'll get to that coming up. Also, John and Kendra Smiley joining us later this morning with parenting wisdom for all of us. All this just ahead. It's Austin Hill in the Morning on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:25. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.